إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to begin with a new topic of great importance. And it is based upon a lecture that was given by one of the foremost scholars of our time at the Islamic University, Jamiat al-Imam in Riyadh. And this topic, which was presented by Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, is entitled As-Salafiyya, Haqiqatuha wa Simatuha. Yani As-Salafiyya, its reality and its characteristics or traits or qualities. And perhaps one might imagine that this topic is a simple topic and perhaps one might even wonder, yani, why do we take our time to talk about a topic that is well known to all of us? Well, the Shaykh, Hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he chose to address this topic to people who it also should have been well known to. Students of knowledge studying at the Islamic University of Jamiat al-Imam in Riyadh. But he took the time to present this topic. And even though we're not going to cover the questions that he answered after the topic, but if anyone heard the questions that were asked after the topic, it will become clear why this topic is so important. Because people who should know, unfortunately too often do not know. Naam. So we will see that the Shaykh, he has presented in a very simple, easy to understand fashion the reality of a Salafiyya and what are the characteristics of a Salafiyya and the people of Salafiyya. And whoever doesn't really know what is a Salafiyya, and that might include Muslims who identify themselves as being Salafi, as well as the larger majority of Muslims who have no clue what is Salafiyya and who think that it is something evil. Whoever is in need of this, and I think that we are all in need of it, then you will see its importance, inshallah, as we review what the Shaykh has presented here. The Shaykh, he began by mentioning the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. And after praising Allah and making dua for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions, all of them, he said after this, فَإِنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَخْبَرَ أَنَّهُ سَيَحْصُلْ افْتِرَاقٌ في هذه الأمة كما حصل في الأمم السابقة، وأوصانا عند ذلك أن نتمسك بما كان عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم هو وأصحابه. And indeed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has informed us of that separation or splitting and division that is going to take place in this ummah. And here, in case someone may misunderstand what is meant by ummah, because we know from the scholars of Sunnah, by evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, that the ummah, that this word ummah, when it is used by the Prophet ﷺ, has two possible meanings. There's the ummah of a da'wah, and there's ummah of ijabah. And the ummah of da'wah are all of the people in the earth who are living after the missioning of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani, this is the ummah that he is, yani, appointed to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in Allah and worship in Him alone. So if he says, my ummah, then he might mean ummah to da'wah, all of the nations of the earth that he is responsible to call. And the second meaning is what we probably normally think of, ummah al-ijabah. That is, the people who have answered the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to believe in Allah and to worship Him alone. Those who have answered His call, they have responded. He called and they answered. And that is the Muslim Ummah. And some of the scholars even have understood that the meaning of the separation and division and splitting of the Ummah, some of them understood that it meant Ummah, the Ummah of Da'wah. Yani, all the nations of the earth would be divided into 73 sects and one of them would be saved, and that would be the Muslims. Some scholars even took this interpretation. But what is intended here, and what is more correctly understood, is that this ummah that the Prophet ﷺ talked about, that would be divided and separated and split into 73 sects, that it is the ummah of ijabah, those who have accepted His call, that they would be divided and they would all be entitled, deserving of punishment in the hellfire, except one. So the Shaykh, he says here that indeed the Prophet ﷺ has informed us that this splitting or separation or division of this ummah, meaning the ummah of ijabah, those who have accepted the call to believe in Allah and the requirement of worshipping Him alone, they have accepted this call, they have responded to it, this ummah will be divided. Just as the previous nations were divided. And here the Shaykh says, so the Prophet ﷺ has advised us at that time when this happens that we should hold tight to that which he is upon and that which his companions are upon, to the way, his way and the way of his companions. He has given us advice that when this takes place, when the ummah is divided, after they were united upon the truth, upon the Quran and Sunnah, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, then later on they became divided. He said, when this happens, then hold fast to that which he is upon and that which his companions are upon. Radiallahu anhum ajmain. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet ﷺ said in this hadith that's reported by Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Hakim and others, and the hadith is sahih. The Prophet ﷺ said, افترق اليهود على إحدى وسبعين فرقة, that the Jews had already been divided into 71 sects. They were divided up into many sects. وافترق النصارى على اثنتين وسبعين فرقة, and the Christians had already been divided into 72 sects. وستفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. And he said that in the future, ستفترق, this will happen. As far as the Jews, they were already divided in 71 sects. And the Christians, they were already divided and split up into 72 sects. But he said, as far as his ummah, he said, it will be, it will happen, this will occur, that they will be divided into 73 sects, and all of them will be in the fire, illa wahida, except one. All of these groups, these sects, these parties, that the ummah will be divided up into, all of them will be in the fire except one. Meaning all of them, due to their deviation, separating from the sunnah, due to that, they deserve to be punished in the hellfire. And whatever a person does that entitles them to be punished in the hellfire, Allah may forgive it except shirk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. That indeed Allah does not forgive that anybody commits shirk, that somebody worships or considers or gives rights to something or someone other than Allah that are His exclusive rights. Allah doesn't accept, He doesn't forgive the person who does this if they die on that shirk, if they don't repent before they die. But He forgives anything less than this to whomever He wills. So if a person dies with any sin, no matter what it is, less than shirk, other than shirk, then Allah will forgive them if He wills. If He wills. But as far as shirk, the person who dies on that, Allah will not forgive it. He will not forgive it. This means that this matter is very, very serious, the matter of shirk. Allah will not forgive it. There's no chance to be forgiven if a person dies on shirk. And that's why the people of Sunnah give so much attention to the matter of tawheed and shirk. So all of them would deserve to be in the fire, except one. قِيلَ مَنْ هِيَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So it was said, who is this one group, this one that would be yani exempted from those who would be in the fire? And he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, مَنْ كَانَ عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ وَأَصْحَابِي. مَنْ كَانَ عَلَى مِثْلِ مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ وَأَصْحَابِي. That one that would be saved, that would be exempted from the fire, would be the one, that group which is upon that which I am upon today and my companions. And Allahu A'lam, but it seems as though the actual wording of this hadith does not include the word al-yawm. But in any case, it is understood that that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon at that time, yani that which he was upon and his companions, this is the way, the road, the path of the people who will be saved from the hellfire. And the Prophet ﷺ said also in another hadith that's reported by Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Shaykh al-Albani, said that the hadith is sahih bi majmu' turukihi, and due to its many chains of narration together, those chains strengthen one another, and he said that it is sahih due to this strengthening of some of the narrations of others. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. That indeed, whoever from amongst you, he's talking to his companions, and whoever would come after them, indeed, whoever from amongst you lives, yani long after him, then he will see إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. You'll see lot of differences, a lot of differing, a lot of differing. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِي الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. So it is incumbent upon you, the one who lives long and sees a lot of differing, then what must they do? They must hold tight. عَلَيْكُمْ, it is obligatory upon you to hold to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas who will come after me. Yani those who will follow me, who will be the leaders of the Muslims after me. That is Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The rightly guided khalifas. Those four khalifas. Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hold tight to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. تمسكوا بها وعدوا عليها بالنواجذ. Hold tight to it, stick to it, and bite on it with your molar teeth. Yani hold to it tight, adhere to it strictly. Naam, this is a serious matter. Don't take it lightly. Rather hold fast to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and that which we found yani from the rightly guided khalifas. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ وَكُلَّ دَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ يعني, and beware of newly invented matters. Beware of newly invented matters. Something that the people came with and they said this is a part of Islam. And it wasn't present in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Beware, watch out, be cautious. Guard yourself from anything that's new. People come with something new, be careful, watch out for this. For indeed, every single newly invented matter is bid'ah, innovation. And every innovation is misguidance. Every newly invented matter is innovation. And every innovation is misguidance. And in a narration of this hadith, the Shaykh says, and the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. These two hadith are very important in a number of ways. The first hadith, the Prophet ﷺ made us to know that there would be splitting, that there would be division, that the ummah would be divided up and split up. And in the second hadith, the Prophet ﷺ informed us that there would be differing, that the people would have a lot of differences. They would not be in agreement on what is Islam. And these are the two great things that we see today. The Prophet said this will happen, and we see it for sure. It happened. And it is widespread in this time. There is differing amongst the people, and as a result of that, there is splitting and division. So what is the solution? The solution is to follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, to hold fast to his sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, and to avoid every newly invented matter. So the Shaykh says, هكذا أوصانا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. In this way, the Prophet ﷺ has advised us. Yani with these words, he has advised us to stick to cling to that which he was upon and that which his companions radiallahu anhum were upon at the time when ikhtilaf, differing, takes place and iftiraq, splitting and division takes place. This is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Cling to, hold fast to that which he sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions radiallahu anhum ajmain were upon at the time when the people begin to differ, and then as a result of that, they split. لأنه لا بد أن يقع وقد وقع كما أخبر به صلى الله عليه وسلم. Indeed, it must happen that this will occur, the differing and the splitting. And it did occur just as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed that it would occur. فطريق النجاة هو الالتزام ما كان عليه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه. So the way, the road of salvation, of being saved from destruction, the road of salvation is clinging to, sticking to that which the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was upon and his companions رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. هذه الفرقة هي الناجية من النار وسائر الفرق كلها في النار ولذلك تسمى الفرقة الناجية أهل السنة والجماعة. And the Shaykh says that this group that would be upon the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, this group is the one that will be saved, and najia would be saved from the fire. And as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, that they will be saved in the next life from the hellfire, and they will be saved in this life from innovation and deviation and misguidance by adhering to that which the Prophet ﷺ and his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in was upon. This firqa, this group from amongst the 73, this is the one that will be saved from the fire. And the rest of the groups, the 72 other groups, all of them will be in the fire. Yani, due to their deviation and their misguidance and following innovation, they would be entitled, justified to be punished in the fire. And Allah forgives whomever He wills, as long as they didn't die upon shirk. And because they will be saved from the fire, this is why they are called Al-Firqa Al-Najiyah. Yani, the group that would be saved. They are Ahl Sunnah Wal-Jama'ah. Yani, the people who cling to the Sunnah. And they stay together in a jama'ah based upon the sunnah. Yani, their clinging together is based upon their clinging to the sunnah. And this is al-firqa al-mutamayyiza an ghayriha bi-ittiba' al-kitabi wa-sunnah. Yani, this group is the group that is distinguished from all other groups. Distinguished by their adhering, by ittiba', by their sticking to the book and the sunnah. And as we will see, as the Shaykh goes on, this clinging to the book and the sunnah is not clinging with slogans. We follow the Quran and sunnah, waving flags. Rather, it is living by it. Our aqidah being based upon it. Our character manifesting it. Our manners, our da'wah being derived from the book and sunnah. In reality, not just in speech. They are distinguished from the other groups, what? By adhering to the book and the sunnah. And everything, everyone other than them, then these are the groups of misguidance. Even if they are ascribing themselves to this ummah, meaning even if they are saying that they are Muslims, even if they are saying that they are from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nonetheless, they are misguided. Because even though they ascribe to themselves Islam, but their manhaj, their methodology, is contrary to and in contradiction to the manhaj of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the manhaj of his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Yani, they identify with Islam, however, they are misguided because their way of practicing Islam and the way of believing is contrary to the way of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And this, the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا مِنْ كَمَالْ نُصْحِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمِنْ كَمَالْ بَيَانِهِ لِلنَّاسِ. And this shows the perfection of the advice of the Prophet ﷺ and the perfection of his clarification for the people, clarification of the deen and the sunnah and the truth and the haqq. This shows that the Prophet ﷺ, yani, extended himself and didn't leave anything undone in advising the ummah and in clarifying for them that which needs clarification. So the road is clear, wadih. Walhamdulillah. The road is clear. It is following the book and the sunnah. Ittiba' al-kitabi wa sunnah. Wa ma alayhi salaf. Salafu hadhihi al-ummah. Yani, the way is clear. It is following the book and the sunnah and that which the salaf, the predecessors of this ummah were upon. Meaning the companions and the tabi'een, the next generation, and those who followed them in their beliefs, and in their worship, and in their manners, and their character, and their da'wah, and so on. Yani, clinging to the book and the sunnah, and that which the salaf of this ummah were upon, including the companions, and the tabi'een, and the atba' tabi'een, to the end of the, yani, preferred generations. Yani, the first early generations, the three or four generations, the generation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those two or three generations that came after him. And this is as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خيركم قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you is my generation, and then those who followed them, and then those who followed them. Yani the generation of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and then those who followed them, the tabi'un, and then those who followed them, the atba' tabi'in. And the narrator of the hadith said, La adri al-dhakara ma'a qarnihi qarnaini aw thalatha. I don't know if he mentioned, along with his generation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's generation, I don't know if he mentioned along with his generation two more generations or three. Meaning, did he mention altogether three generations or four? ثم قال, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, سيأتي بعدهم قوم يحلفون ولا يستحلفون. That they will come after them, after these preferred generations, a generation or a people who will be swearing, yani half, yani making oaths, even though they were not asked to. And this is not a good sign. وَيَشْهَدُونَ وَلَا يُسْتَشْهَدُونَ. And they will be bearing witness, giving shahada, testimony, while they have not been asked to. وَيَخُونُونَ وَلَا يُؤْتَمَنُونَ. And they will be violating trust. They will not be fulfilling trust when they are entrusted. وَيَظْهَرُ فِيهِمْ السَّمَنْ. And there will appear amongst them obesity, fatness. That's what he said. Now, there will be a lot of fat people. We see a lot of that today, right? Even little kids are fat today. This is after the preferred generations, all of these affairs will occur. Swearing, giving testimony, violating trust, and fatness, obesity, all of this will occur after the preferred generations. However, the Shaykh says, and this is good news, and by the way, this hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Naam, and At-Tirmidhi, and Abu Dawud, and Nasa'i, and Hakim, and others. And the Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ مَنْ صَارَ عَلَى مَنْهَجَ الْقُرُونَ الْمُفَضَّلَةِ وَلَوْ كَانَ فِي آخِرِ يَوْمٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّهُ يَنْجُو وَيَسْلَمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. However, yani this is what's going to take place in the latter generations. However, the Shaykh said, whoever travels upon the methodology, the minhaj, the road, the way of the preferred generations, the first three generations or four, whoever travels upon their minhaj, even if he is in the last day of this dunya, in the end of time, even if he is in the last day of this dunya, if he is traveling upon their way, then he will be saved, and he will be safe from the fire. Naam. So this is good news. That even if we came in the worst generation of people, in the end of time, one can be saved by following, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, being upon the way that he is upon and his companions, holding fast to his sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. And then the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 100th ayat, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. That indeed, يعني here the Shaykh is mentioned in this ayah in reference to the last statement that he made. يعني that the correct way is the way of the first generations of the Muslims. But that even if people came later, if they follow their way, they will be safe. So the first and foremost, yani from amongst the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, specifically min al muhajirin wal ansar, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, from amongst those who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who received them in Medina, the Ansar, the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the first and foremost from amongst them, and those who followed them bi ihsan, who followed them, yani who followed their way precisely, exactly, completely. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them, yani the Muhajirin and the Ansar, as well as those who came later but followed their way. Allah is pleased with all of them, and they are pleased with Him, and He has prepared for them, all of them, Jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, to remain, to abide in it forever, Khalidina fiha abada. And this is the supreme success. So Allah Jalla wa Ala dhamina lahum al-iman ittaba al-muhajirin wal-ansar bihadha al-shart bi-ihsan, yani bi-itqan, la da'wa aw intisab min ghayri tahqiq imma an jahl aw an hawa. So the Shaykh, he said that Allah Jalla wa Ala has guaranteed for whoever follows the Muhajirin and the Ansar, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever follows their way, with this condition though, follows them bi ihsan, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, yani who will be included? The people who follow them, but bi ihsan. The Shaykh says this is the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed for those who He guarantees that He will be pleased with them, and they will be pleased with Him, and they will have gardens underneath which rivers flow, and they will abide in it forever, and they will have the supreme, the great supreme success. Ihsan, he said, it means bi-itqan, bi-itqan, following them bi-itqan, yani doing it well, with perfection and precision, not just doing it any kind of way, haphazardly, lackadaisically, rather, with precision, with preciseness, with exactitude, itqan, la da'wa wal intisab min ghayri tahqiq, not just claiming that you are following them, not just ascribing to yourself following them without realizing real following, without achieving it, without really acting upon it. And this, the people who claim to be following but do not follow, he said it is either due to ignorance or it is either due to following desires. Yani that some people will claim to be following the Salaf, but they will not really be following the Salaf. They will not really achieve, they will not realize this following that entitles them to the pleasure of Allah and the Jannah. They will not achieve it, either due to ignorance, because they don't know that way of the Salaf, they don't know it, or due to following desires, meaning they may know it, but they follow their desires instead of following the Haqq. So these are the two causes of the people going astray and being destroyed. That either they are ignorant of the right way, how can they follow it if they don't know? Like the Christians. Or they know the right way, but they rather follow their desires, like the Yahud, which the Shaykh refers to as we go along. And then the Shaykh says, and this is yani very important statement here from Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And it is addressed to students of knowledge who are studying in the Islamic University, Jamiat al-Imam. And it is applicable to every one of us. لَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ انْتَسَبَ إِلَى السَّلَفْ يَكُونُ مُحِقًّا حَتَّى يَكُونُ اتِّبَاعُهُ بِإِحْسَانٍ. It is not so that every person who ascribes himself to the Salaf, who attaches himself to the Salaf, that he will really be entitled to that in reality. Not everyone who ascribes to himself that he is following the way of the Salaf is in fact doing so, until and unless he follows them with ihsan, yani with itqan, with precision and perfection and completeness. And this is the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a condition. That is al-ihsan, yani al-itqan wal-itmam. That they follow the Salaf, the Sahaba, the muhajirin and the ansar, yani with yani perfection and with completeness and precision. And this requires from the followers, the people who claim that they follow them, this requires of them to study the minhaj of the Salaf and to know the minhaj of the Salaf and to hold fast to it. Yani people claim that they follow the Salaf, but they cannot do so unless they study carefully the manhaj of the Salaf. It's not a matter of a person being a part of a certain group or going to a certain masjid or hanging out with a certain group of people who say they are Salafi. Rather, in order for a person to fulfill this condition of following the way of the Salaf, they have to study the manhaj of the Salaf. They have to engage themselves in studying the manhaj of the Salaf. They have to know the manhaj of the Salaf. And then they have to stick to it. They have to abide by it. They have to live by it. Otherwise, it's just claims. Anybody can claim. So this requires of the followers who claim to follow the way of the Salaf that they study the minhaj, the methodology of the Salaf, and that they actually know it, and then that they yatamassaku bihi, hold tight to it, adhere to it strictly. As far as a person just ascribing this to themselves, while they do not know the minhaj of the Salaf, and they do not know the madhab of the Salaf, but they just take this ascription, they attribute it to themselves, they attach themselves to the Salaf, while they don't know the minhaj of the Salaf, and they don't know the madhab of the Salaf, then this will not benefit them at all. لا ينفع شيئا. And this وليسوا من السلف, these people are not from the Salaf. وليسوا سلفيين. لأنهم لم يتبعوا السلف بإحسان كما شرط الله عز وجل. And this is because they have not followed. It's not because somebody who is the leader of the club has said these people are not from the Salafiyah, because he has the authority to do so. No. A person is not from the Salaf if he hasn't followed the Salaf in reality with Ihsan. He hasn't achieved the following. But nobody has the right to say he's not Salafi and that one is not Salafi because he's not in our gang or our group or our club. Rather, a person is not Salafi if he doesn't follow the Salaf bi Ihsan, with Itqan, with Itmam, completely and perfectly, strictly following the Salaf in everything that they are upon, in aqidah, in ibadah, in da'wah, in akhlaq, naam, all of this, a person has to follow them, not just on the tongue, espousing, waving flags and banners, but rather we have to actually follow this. Otherwise, a person is in delusion, deluding themselves, giving some credit to themselves that they are not entitled to. So it is incumbent upon us, brothers, it's incumbent upon us to actually be serious about studying the manhaj of the Salaf. You're not entitled to this ascription just because you go to a certain masjid, and that masjid is the masjid of people of Sunnah. That's not enough. Just because you hang out with certain brothers who say they are Salafi, that's not enough. Rather, you have to actually take the time out, sacrifice some of your precious time for studying the manhaj of the Salaf, knowing it well, in detail, and then living by it. That's what makes the difference. Otherwise, ascribing yourself to Salafiyah will not benefit you at all without following it with Ihsan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a condition. And the Shaykh, he says here, and for this reason, and the praise belongs to Allah, in this jamia, and in this land, and in these and the masajid of this land, that which is studied here is the manhaj of a Salaf al-Salih. And this is so that we will be able to follow it bi ihsan. It is studied in the jamia, and in the universities, and in the masajid. For what? So that the people will know it, so that they can follow it. لا بالدعوة وَالتَّسَمِّ فَقَدْ Not just making claims and naming ourselves with this name. فَكَمْ مِنْ مَنْ يَدَّعِي السَّلَفِيَّةِ وَأَنَّهُ عَلَى مَنْهَجَ السَّلَفِ وَهُوَ عَلَى خِلَافِ ذَلِكَ إِمَّا لِجَهْلِهِ بِمَنْهَجِ السَّلَفِ وَإِمَّا لِهَوَاهِ يَعْرِفُ لَكِنْ يَتَّبِعُ وَيَتْبَعُ هَوَاهُ وَلَا يَتْبَعُ مَنْهَجِ السَّلَفِ So how many are those who claim as-salafiyya and who claim that they are upon the minhaj of the salaf and they are on that which is contrary to it either due to his ignorance and he doesn't know the minhaj of the salaf he's claiming it alone with by his ignorance or either due to his ignorance of the minhaj of the salaf or due to his following his desires yani meaning that this one, the second one, is the one who knows. But he knows the manhaj of the Salaf, but he follows his desires instead. He doesn't follow the manhaj of the Salaf. And I'm going to try to close here, Annie, as best I can because of the time. The Sheikh says, and this is especially so for those, Yani, whoever is traveling upon the minhaj of the Salaf, they are in need of two matters, as we have mentioned previously. The first of them is ma'arifat minhaj al-Salaf, that they have to know, they have to have knowledge of the minhaj of the Salaf. Yani a person who doesn't know the minhaj of the Salaf, just espousing words, waving flags and banners, wallahi there's no benefit in this. You will not be able to do this unless you have ma'arifa, you have to have knowledge of the minhaj of the Salaf. And Amr al-Thani and the second matter is التمسق به مهما كلفه ذلك And then a person has to hold fast to it, to the minhaj of the Salaf. When they know it, they have to adhere to it, stick to it, no matter what it requires of them. And this is because those who oppose the person who travels on the way of the Salaf, then they will meet from those who oppose the minhaj of the Salaf some harms. And some stubbornness and false accusations against them. And they will even label them with labels, evil labels. They will call them bad names. However, that person must be patient upon this path because he is certain, he is convinced of what he is upon, that it is the truth. Even though they make accusations, even though these people are stubborn, even though these people call you names, you must remain patient upon this way, being convinced that what you are upon is the truth. He is not shaken by the storms or the winds, and he is not changed by the fitin, the trials and tribulations. Rather, he remains patient upon that until he meets his Rabb, yani until he dies. يَتَعَلَّمْ مَنْهَجِ السَّلَفْ أَوَّلًا The first thing is that you have to learn the manhaj of the Salaf. And then he must follow it with ihsan, with perfection and completion and precision. And he must be patient upon that which he meets from the people, yani the harm that comes to him from the people. And this is not sufficient, but rather he must also spread the manhaj of the Salaf. Yani it is necessary that he call to Allah and that he call to the madhab of the Salaf. And that he makes it clear to the people and spreads it amongst the people. هذا هو السلفي حقيقة. This is the Salafi in reality. نعم. As far as the one who just claims Salafiyya and he doesn't know the manhaj of the Salaf or he knows it, but he doesn't follow it. Rather, he follows what the people are upon. Or he follows what is in agreement with his desires. This one is not Salafi. Even if he uses the name of Salafiyya. Or if he is not patient with the trials and tribulations. Or he just, yani, deals with the people out of politeness Or, yani he compromises things in the deen. He compromises some things of the deen. Or he surrenders or gives up some things from the manhaj of the salaf. Yani in order to get along with the people. Then this one is not upon the manhaj of the salaf. فَلَيْسَ الْعِبْرَ بِالدَّعْوَةِ الْعِبْرَ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ So what we are concerned here, or what is considered, the point is not the claim to Salafiyya, but rather the reality of Salafiyya. And this requires of us الاحتمام لمعرفة منهج السلف ودراسة منهج السلف في العقيدة والأخلاق والعمل في جميع مجالات منهج السلف. Yani in this what we're going to stop with, the Shaykh says, and this requires, and it calls us to give care, al-ihtimam, to give care, to give importance, to feel that this matter is important, that is, knowing the manhaj of the Salaf and studying the manhaj of the Salaf in terms of the aqidah, their beliefs, and their akhlaq, their character and manners, and their amal, their deeds, their worship, and in all the fields, in all aspects of the manhaj of the Salaf. So this is the manhaj which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, and this is the manhaj of his companions from amongst the immigrants, the muhajireen and the ansar. And this is the manhaj of those who followed them and who traveled upon their methodology until the establishment of the hour of judgment. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And this is where we'll stop for today. Actually, our time is completely finished, but if there's a question concerning what was discussed today, inshallah. Yes. A question concerning what was discussed today. Naam, Abu Tariq.
Two matters.
Naam.
The two matters of knowledge.
Naam. Naam.
What was the two matters of Salafiyya?
Well, he said these are two things that are necessary in order for a person to achieve the realization of really following. They have to first know the manhaj, and then they have to act upon it. They have to adhere to it. They have to stick to it. He said this requires following bi ihsan, following the way of the Salaf, yani really achieving this following with perfection and precision and completeness requires the person to know the manhaj. How can you follow something you don't know? And then it requires, after you know it, to actually live by it. Not just to know it, to learn some of the words and the slogans and the expressions and just espouse them. Rather, after knowing it, a person has to live by it. Naam. Naam, Adam.
I
think I understand you're saying that there are some brothers who are trying to follow the way of the Salaf, but they are mixing and intermingling and sitting with people who are not really strictly following the Sunnah, and somebody is telling them, don't sit with them?
They're trying, yeah. They're not really, they're trying to follow the Salaf, but it's kind of like, they're kind of going one way, but then they're very sincere, so they go another way, someone, they hear this guy, then they hear this one, so they're kind of going,
they're confused.
Yeah, like, one brother, you know, he is very confused, like, we tell him, but you should do this, he's like, okay, no problem. And he goes to his family, and Allah alam with early on, and they'll tell him something, I said, but this is,
In general, Muslims, yani we don't say a person is not a Muslim because he's not following the Sunnah. We don't say he's not a Muslim. So Muslims have certain rights over us, and we should fulfill those rights. However, if a person is not following the Sunnah, rather they are just following whatever, anything, from one day to the next, they're going in different directions. That's confusion. Be careful, be careful. Does that mean that we should abandon this person completely, and we shouldn't advise them, we shouldn't remind them, we shouldn't try to clarify the right way? We should do that. Now, whoever is able to do that, and they will be protected, they will not be subject because of their association with these people or such kind of people, they will not be subject to themselves becoming confused and misled. Then the people who are clear on the Sunnah and they understand the manhaj of the Salaf, they should instruct those people. They should advise them. Naam. They should educate them. They should try to clarify. The Shaykh, he said that it's not sufficient just that you know the manhaj of the Salaf and that you yourself adhere to it. But rather you have to call to it. You have to invite people to it, and you have to clarify it for the people. So a person is confused, clarify for him. Now.
So if we do it then one time, two times, but then it's not really a...
Well, I mean, we don't say that you only can advise them or educate them one time or two times, but a person has to be careful.
Many times.
A person has to be careful. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi," that a person will be on the deen of his close friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَا يُخَالِدْ. So every person should be careful and look to who he takes as a close friend. That means that these people are not the people that we take as our companions. These are not the people that we spend our day and nights with. Rather, these are people, if we come in contact with them, we invite them to the truth. If we see they're confused on an issue and they have a question, we try to clarify it for them. But we're not going to, like they say in the language, hang out with them. That's not the people that are going to be our close companions. But if they are in need of guidance, if they ask a question, then we'll clarify it for them. Naam. Naam.
So some people they say like, if you do something but you don't think it's from the deen,
Naam.
Then it's not necessary bid'ah.
If you do something and you don't think it's from the deen,
but you still do it,
then it's not bid'ah?
That's what some people
say. No, I mean, just because you don't think it's from the deen, that means that it's not bid'ah. If it is a matter that people do, that there's some legislation in the deen how people should worship Allah, whether it's ritual acts of worship or other matters of the deen that Allah has legislated for us, then when people do introduce something new into that, that's bid'ah. Whether that person in his own mind thinks this is part of religion or not, it doesn't matter. A person might not think that something is a part of Islam, because in their own mind, in their misconception, they think this is not from the affairs of deen.
So, you know, you have seen them before? The dua that they make after Jama'ah, every salah?
The dua that they make in all the group together?
The group together.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time.
I've seen a lot where I've read it. So, like, one brother said, no, it's okay. I didn't say anything, so, but he said...
He said it's okay because this is not really a religious matter, huh? What is dua if it's not...
If you don't think it's from the deen, then...
He's confused completely. Yani, so if a person doesn't think salat is from the deen, then khalas, you can pray however you want. Because in his mind, he doesn't think it's from the deen. I mean, what is this? That's pure nonsense. He doesn't have a clue. I mean, maybe somebody told him that, and then he doesn't know any better, so he's just following what he has been told. That's nonsense. The deen is not what every individual considers deen. In that case, everybody will have a different idea what is deen to them. So this will be deen with him and not deen with him. No. The deen is what it is. It's not according to what somebody thinks or does not think is part of the deen.